Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Building on the Rock, produced by St. Peter's Lutheran Congregation of Fond du Lac, located at 1600 South Main Street. Our congregation has had the privilege of serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ since 1858. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 7:45 or 10 o'clock, or every Thursday night at 6:30. St. Peter's serves Jesus Little Lambs with a kindergarten through 8th grade Lutheran Elementary School and supports Winnebago Lutheran Academy. We invite you to take advantage of the many opportunities that St. Peter's provides to help you build your life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and His Word. For more information, call us at 922-1160 or visit us on the web at www.stpetersfdl.net. May God bless you as together we continue building on the rock. Welcome to St. Peter's Lutheran Church. Visitors, we're glad that you have joined us for worship. Please fill out a guest card and place it in the offering plate later on during the service. This Sunday is June 25th. It's the anniversary of the presentation of the Augsburg Confession. Together we thank God for the faithful confessors of the Lutheran Reformation who made their good confession before Emperor Charles V on June 25th, 1530, in the city of Augsburg, Germany. Please stand for the service of the word. It begins on page 35, or 38 in the front portion of the hymnal, page 38. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, favorably receive the prayers of your church, that being instructed by the doctrine of the blessed apostles, we may always make a pure confession of your saving truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The first lesson is recorded in Isaiah chapter 55, which was written about 740 years before our Lord's birth. Throughout the ages, in spite of the enemies of the truth of God's word has always produced a harvest. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The second lesson is recorded in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Christians in the city of Rome, chapter 10. The confessors believed the truth in their hearts, and therefore they were compelled to confess the truth with their mouths. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is to bring Christ down. Or 'Who will descend into the deep?' That is to bring Christ up from the dead. What does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, 'Jesus is Lord,' and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, 'Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.' But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our message?' Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. This is the word of our God. I will declare your testimonies before kings, and I will not be ashamed." Psalm 119, verse 46. We read from Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." This is God's word. Please be seated. Dear fellow children of the Lutheran Reformation, do you recognize these names? John, Duke of Saxony, George, Margrave of Brandenburg, Ernest, Duke of Lauenburg, Philip, Landgrave of Hesse, John Frederick, Duke of Saxony, Francis, Duke of Lauenburg, Wolfgang, Prince of Anhalt. Those were the Lutheran princes who steadfastly confessed the truth of true Christianity before the most powerful man in the world, Emperor Charles V, on June 25th, 1530. 487 years later, by God's grace and by God's mercy, our congregation and our Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod continue to stand with the confessors. We stand with the confessors by acknowledging Jesus before the world. We stand with the confessors by putting Jesus in our hearts before the world. It was on April 17th, 1521, And a man named Dr. Martin Luther, who was a professor at the University of Wittenberg and also the parish priest at St. Mary's in Wittenberg, also stood before the most powerful man in the world, Emperor Charles V. On that day, Charles V had called a meeting or a diet in the city of Worms, Germany, in order to unite his empire against the attack of the Turks, the Mohammedans. He didn't think that his empire could be united as long as Martin Luther and his followers kept speaking out against the abuses of the Roman Catholic Church. And so as Luther stood before Emperor Charles V, there was a table in between them. And on the table there was a stack of books. Luther would not be allowed to defend himself. He was only asked two questions. Martin Luther, are these your books? And after looking at them, he said, yeah, they're my books. Will you recant, revoke, and disavow them? Martin Luther asked for time to think about it, and they gave him 24 hours, and on the next day, April 18th, 1521, they once again asked him, Dr. Martin Luther, will you recant, revoke, and disavow everything that you have written here? And Martin Luther said, unless you can convince me from the pages of God's holy word, from the scriptures, and from clear reasoning, I cannot and I will not recant, for it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. Here I stand. God help me. I can do no other. Amen. Well, Emperor Charles V didn't like that so well, and he condemned him as an outlaw and as a heretic. No one in all of the Holy Roman Empire was to harbor Martin Luther. No one was to grant him any aid. No matter where he was in the empire, he was to be tracked down, he was to be apprehended, he was to be delivered into the hands of Charles V, which no doubt would result in his execution. But Charles V had promised Martin Luther safe passage to travel from Wittenberg to Worms and back to Wittenberg. So Luther had 18 more days to get back to Wittenberg, which he did. On his way, he was kidnapped and harbored at the Wartburg Castle. Now, at the end of those 18 days, Elector Frederick's edict and condemnation of Luther stood. So why was Martin Luther able to continue his Reformation work in leading the church back, to reform the church by bringing it back to the truths of God's holy word? For two reasons. Number one, Elector Frederick was his governor, his ruler, and he supported and he protected Martin Luther. And number two, Emperor Charles spent the next 9 years at war trying to secure his grip, trying to make his throne secure so that he could rule over that entire empire in peace. During those 9 years when Emperor Charles was out at war, the Lutheran Reformation continued to spread. More and more territories throughout Germany started to follow Martin Luther in confessing the truth of God's holy word, that we are saved sola gratia. That's Latin for by grace alone, God's undeserved love for us sinners who do not deserve his love. We are saved sola fide, by faith alone, by faith in Jesus our Savior, who lived a perfect life for us, who died an innocent death on the cross and shed his blood to purify us from all unrighteousness. And we are saved sola scriptura, by scripture alone. All that God says in his holy Bible is all that we need for our entire Christian faith and life. Finally, almost a decade later, in 1530, the Emperor Charles V had secured peace in his kingdom and had time to deal with the Lutheran problem. He summoned all of the Lutheran princes to appear before him at a diet in the city of Augsburg, Germany. Elector Frederick traveled with Martin Luther and with Martin Luther's sidekick and fellow professor, Philip Melanchthon. In the city of Torgau, Martin Luther and Melanchthon wrote a confession called the Torgau Articles. They traveled on to the castle in a city called Coburg. Martin Luther would have to remain in that castle of Coburg until the meeting at Augsburg was over many months later. And while he was there, his father died. It brought him great grief, but after 2 days, he cheered up again. Why did he have to stay in that castle? Because that castle was in the Elector Frederick's territory. But Augsburg wasn't. If Luther had gone to Augsburg, he would have been apprehended and no doubt executed. So Elector Frederick and Philip Melanchthon headed on to Augsburg. When they got there, they made a confession of their faith, because when a representative of the Pope came to bless Charles V, everybody knelt down except Elector Frederick and Philip Melanchthon. The next day, they made another clear confession of their faith. They refused to participate in a Corpus Christi celebration with the Catholics. When Charles V ordered the Lutherans to quit preaching and worshiping in the city of Augsburg, George, the Margrave of Brandenburg, said, "I would rather lose my head than deny my faith and my Lord Jesus Christ and worship him in a way that is false." This rattled Charles V. In an excited, stilted German, he said, "No head off, no head off." Now, when they arrived there, they realized that the Roman Catholics had prepared a document called the 404 Propositions, which condemned the Lutherans and their teachings. It became evident that the Torgau Articles would not be a sufficient confession of the truth, and so Philip Melanchthon sat down and, using writings of Martin Luther, began to write his Augsburg Confession. During that time, Luther sent 70 different letters from the Coburg Castle to Augsburg, encouraging the confessors and teaching them how to stand up to the truth of God's holy word. When Martin Luther read Philip Melanchthon's confession, he was very pleased with it, said, "I wouldn't change a thing because I myself cannot step so lightly." Now they were to appear before the emperor, and on June 25th, 1530, a man named Christian Beyer represented the Lutherans before Charles V. The hall was packed. It was really hot that day, so all of the windows were open, and crowds had gathered outside the windows in the courtyard. And the Lutherans purposefully picked Christian Beyer to read the confession because he had a loud and booming voice. And he read the Augsburg Confession for 2 hours straight, and everybody in the hall and everybody out in the courtyard heard every single word that he said. And when Christian Beyer was done reading that confession, a Roman Catholic bishop said, "This is the pure truth, and we cannot deny it." Now, a theologian and a champion for the Roman Catholic Church, who was named John Eck, said to Prince William of Bavaria, "I can refute the Lutherans with the writings of the Church Fathers, but not with the Scriptures." And Duke William said, "So I take it that the Lutherans sit on the Scriptures, and we of the Church of the Pope sit outside of the Scriptures." You see, the confessors, they stood up and they acknowledged Jesus before the world without fear. May you and I, like those confessors, stand with them and always stand up for the truth of God's holy word, no matter what threats, no matter what opposition, no matter what the opponents of the truth of God's word may do. Well, Charles V had his theologians write up an attack on the Augsburg Confession called the Confutation. And he ordered all of the Lutheran princes to recant and revoke and disavow everything that they believed, and they had until April 15th, 1531, to do that, a year later. In response to that, Philip Melanchthon wrote a second Lutheran confession called the Apology, or the Defense of the Augsburg Confession. And it was presented on April 15th, 1531, when they were supposed to revoke and recant all that they taught and preached. It was obvious that they were not going to follow the emperor. It was obvious that they were going to put Jesus before the world. The emperor threatened that if they did not recant, they would feel the full force of his power and his military would come and attack them. And although they defied the emperor, God stepped in. The emperor had to go back off to war, and so he didn't have the ability or the time to continue to deal with the Lutherans. And it wasn't until 16 years later, after Martin Luther was dead, when Emperor Charles attacked the Lutheran princes, and he actually conquered them. Prince John Frederick, the magnanimous, who was the son of Elector Frederick, he was removed from his ruling position, and he was sentenced to death. But Charles V changed the death sentence into life in prison. And over the years, he offered many times to Elector John Frederick the Magnanimous the opportunity to leave prison and to go home with his wife and children if only he would recant and return to the Catholic fold. But Elector John Frederick the Magnanimous put Jesus before the world. He refused to love the world more than he loved Jesus. He believed Jesus' words when he said, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Elector John Frederick languished in prison for 5 years. Finally, he was released when the power shifted away from Emperor Charles V, and 2 years later, he died. Ever since June 25th, 1530, every Bible-believing and confessing Lutheran church and church body has confessed, along with the confessors, the truths of the Augsburg Confession. That's why our congregation, to the left of the main entrance out there, on our cornerstone, has put the letters UAC. That stands for the Unaltered Augsburg Confession that was read 487 years ago on a hot afternoon. May you and I continue to stand with the confessors, acknowledging Jesus and the truth of his word before the world, and putting Jesus in our hearts before anything or anyone else in the world. Amen. And the God of peace himself will soon crush Satan under your feet. The Lord be with all of you. Amen. We open our hymnals to page 41 that we might confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, we praise and glorify you for the unsurpassed gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We confess that we are unworthy sinners who have transgressed your will and word. We repent of our evil and pray for the faith that trusts utterly and completely in the righteousness of Christ Jesus for our forgiveness. Open our hearts to the mighty power of your word. Teach us to depend on your holy sacrament for spiritual strength. Grant that our minds may be renewed in righteousness, that our consciences may be stirred to choose the good, and that every thought, word, and deed may be brought into captivity to Christ. Give to your church ministers and teachers who have faithfulness and courage of true prophets, that your people may be built up in faith, abound in good works, rejoice in your love, and finally enter your heavenly kingdom. We pray for our beloved country. Give us citizens who perceive that the standard of all that is right is not personal advancement or private favor, not public opinion or party platform, but your holy will. Lavish your grace on all families, that each home may, by its Christian love and character, be for our children a foretaste of the joy and blessedness of our heavenly home. For all who are in any sickness, pain, anguish, or suffering, for all who are in any danger of body or soul, we pray. Teach them to turn to you and wait on you for mercy. Grant them hope and a joyous deliverance from all their trials, and let them walk in your light all their days. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, our refuge and hope. Amen. We join with Mike and Linda Mathwig in thanking you for 40 years of blessings on their marriage. Be with them in the future as you have been in the past, and continue to fill their hearts and their home with your love. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. 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 Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Building on the Rock, produced by St. Peter's Lutheran Congregation of Fond du Lac, serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ since 1858. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 7:45 or 10 o'clock, or every Thursday night at 6:30. Our address is 1600 South Main Street. St. Peter's serves Jesus Little Lambs with a kindergarten through 8th grade Lutheran Elementary School and supports Winnebago Lutheran Academy. We invite you to take advantage of the many opportunities that St. Peter's provides to help you build your life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and His Word. For more information, call us at 922-1160 or visit us on the web at www.stpetersfdl.net. We'll be back next week with another edition of Building on the Rock. Until then, God be with you.